Here we go. Who do we got here? We have here online, no one. Okay, here we go. Samach Beis, the end of Samach Beis, we're up to Pasuk. Achel, Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, page 538. So yesterday we learned some explosive stuff. We can't repeat everything we learned yesterday. We learned the Targum, we learned that this is all about Shidduchim. Okay, we learned about Shidduchim, and we learned about two things, about the futility of putting one's confidence in man. We learned about the futility, that the weakness of humanity. And we learned about Shidduchim, we learned about Basher, the Sugya Basher. So let's...
I looked at that Medrash.
Yeah, yes, in MR, yeah.
Yeah, and it talks about, the futility of the plans that you make, let's say the parents make for a Shidduch, because it's obviously heavenly ordained. So it's just...
Minash Shamayim. Mehashem Yotza, Mehashem Yotza Dover, Imashem Lo Yivne Bayis, Shov, Omoloi Boy. If Hashem does not. I call me Hashem, but Shidduchim especially. Shidduchim.
The story by the Shabbos Hayah, I think, that he had a daughter or a granddaughter that died young, and he wrote a sefer especially, it was Roim, and he asked everyone to learn it. I think and what happened was, there was a very wealthy shidduch they set up for her, and they fooled him. She was really abused after the wedding, and she died right afterwards. And he was very, very affected by it. So he wrote a sefer just for her. So you see, the biggest people have the shidduch, you know.
No guarantees in life for anything. No, I remember, this goes back years ago, I didn't go to this wedding, but someone in Chaim Berlin married Rabbi Friend. As far as I know, he has three daughters, maybe he has more, I don't know. So a boy in Chaim Berlin who I know married his daughter. And Rabbi Friend, as you all know, is a very big celebrity. And many of my friends, they went to, I didn't go to the wedding because I didn't really know this person, but they went to the wedding and I knew what happened by the wedding, Rabbi Friend's daughter. So he said Rabbi Friend spoke at the wedding. It's not so common to speak at a wedding today, but he spoke. And this is what he said at the wedding. This was his drasha. He said that in the Torah we find three people who did what appears to be foolish. They said, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever happens, I'm going to commit myself. What am I referring to? Let's first start with Avraham. Avraham said, Eliezer said, whoever comes to the well and offers me a drink of water, oiso hoichachta la'avdi li'avram. My la'avdi for Yitzhak, whatever it says there. Whoever comes to the well and offers me a drink of water, this is the girl that's going to marry Yitzhak. So I think the Gemara, the Medrash asked the question, it could be some blind, some gypsy, some who knows what. Some person who is totally inappropriate for Yitzchak comes to the well and offers him a drink. And Eliezer, lefi pshuto shel mikra, is committing himself to the girl who comes to the well, will marry Yitzchak. How could that possibly, how could you do something so irresponsible? Number two. Risky, right? Number two, Shaul says, whoever kills Goliath marries my daughter. My pride and joy, Michal Bas Shaul. One of the most beautiful women in the entire world, in the history of the world, a woman who was extremely holy, she wore tefillin. Whoever kills Goliath gets my daughter in marriage. How could he say such a thing? Maybe a lowlife will kill Goliath. Yiftach HaGiladi, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you save me from this battle, then the first object that comes out of the door when I come back from war, the first object that comes out of the door, I will offer to you as a sacrifice. Maybe his wife will come out of the door. Maybe he thinks an animal. And what happened? His daughter came out of the door and gehakt at Tzaddis. And therefore, what happened to her? Big mystery. What it means exactly. L'chayra doesn't mean he killed her. It means he sent her into isolation for the rest of her life, whatever it means. It was he could have went in Mataneder. It's a very tragic story. But it did not, Hashem did not appear to intervene to a degree where he would be spared from a tzaras. But Eliezer and Shaul, who did exactly the same thing. And for them, it worked out pretty good. It worked out pretty good. Rivka and David HaMelech, not bad. So what's the pshat? So my friend said, the difference is, the first two related to shiduchim. And the last one related to stamazoy, a carbon. When you're dealing with shiduchim, it's a whole different set of rules. Even though it appears to be irresponsible, it appears to be risky, it appears to be absurd, when it comes to shiduchim, it's different. When you're given a license at times, and I don't know who writes the rules, these are just general concepts, to almost put your fate in Hashem's hands in a degree that with regard to other matters in life, you can't do that. That would be irresponsible.
Now, before
you came in, we gave three examples. There are three cases. The case of Shaul, whoever will kill Goliath will get my daughter, Michal. Eliezer will come to the well and offer me a drink of water, will be the girl who will marry Yitzchak. And then you have Yiftach, whoever, if I win this war, you'll save me, Hashem. Whoever comes out of my front door, whatever, will be a carbon to Hashem. Two of these situations worked out very well. Michal Bashol and Eliezer worked out very good. Whereas Yiftach, it was a nightmare. What's pshat? So my friend said, I don't know if he's saying this on his own or he's citing a source. The difference is, Shaul and Eliezer are dealing with shiduchim. Whereas Yiftach is dealing with offering a korban to Hashem. When you deal with shiduchim, it's a completely different set of rules, and I don't know if you can be practical. It's practically today. I don't know. I can't give you any nafkamin halacha lemaisa in practical sense, but in shaduchim, a person at the end of the day has to recognize that me Hashem yotza hadavar.
Rabbi, but that's incomparable because on the third case, he made an eder for himself. The first two are not nedarim.
Okay, it's not exactly each case. Not exactly the same, but it's a promise.
It depends on the other person. You cannot make
another. I mean, it almost is a neder. I mean, okay, you're right. We can nitpick, the details, but the concept. There are technicalities. You're right. There are ein moishivin al hadrush. You're right. You are correct, Rabbi Lezer. You are correct. There are obvious technical differences between the three cases, but there is a similar concept, and that is, if things go my way, whatever happens, I'm putting it in your hands, Hashem. And whatever it will be, you're responsible, Hashem. I give it over to you. So why then, when it comes to Yiftach, was it a tragedy? His daughter came out of the house and he had to go, I don't know what he did with her. It says there, you read the pasuk, literally he slaughtered her. He offered her as a carbon, which is impossible to say. So Mepharshim say it means that he sent her away
it
to...
It wasn't the problem of Yitzchak, it was the
problem
of the
Kayin, Pinchas. That's another story, is why wasn't he Matan Eder? That's a tragedy of Gaiva, v'chul, that's another story. But why did it even enter, why did it even happen? Whereas when it comes to Eliezer and it comes to Shaul, it worked out very well. The answer is Shiduchim. The first two examples are examples of Shiduchim. And in Shiduchim, a person has to let go and has to come to the recognition, Me Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Now, how does this apply in the practical sense? I have no idea. Adrab, you see many people, they're very, when it comes to Shiduchim, a good parents who are very responsible, they'll make drishas lechakiyos. When it comes to other things in life, they don't care. They don't care. This is not so important. When it comes to their children, who they married, they take it very, very seriously. And that is viewed today as a virtue. So, I mean, where do you draw the line? Okay, where do you draw the line? I do not know, but there is no question that the concept is a very true concept. You see in Chazal, and we have numerous Amari Chazal that talk about this principle that Im Hashem lo yivne habayis, if Hashem does not, you don't allow Hashem to be the one who creates a new bayis then in the Yisrael, you're wasting your time. The whole process of marriage is a waste of time. You have to acknowledge that Shiduchim is Me Hashem. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Chumash, from Navi, from Ksuvim, Ki Me Hashem Yotzo Hadavar. Now let's elaborate upon this by looking at the Midrashim. The Midrashim pasuk Yud, on page 538, pasuk Yud, Achevel B'nei Adam, Achevel B'nei Adam, Kozeh B'nei Ish, B'moiznayim La'alois Heima Mehevel Yochan. Now we spent a whole shiur on this yesterday. There are different things in this pasuk, different ways to understand the pasuk. Let us jump into the Medrash, what it says, Rabbi Bo Bar Koyen. That was his name, Rabbi Bo Bar Koyen. You know someone by the name of Bo? Rabbi Bo. Im Bo Yavo, this week's parasha. Im Bo Yavo. It's this week's parasha. It says in the pasuk, if Bo will come. Am I asking you what I'm saying? In Bo Yavo still means if he will certainly arrive. I'm telling you a little bit of a drush. There's a person by the name of Bo. If Bo will come. In Bo Yavo. Rabbi Bo. That was his name. Rabbi Bo Bar Koyen Omar. He said, Komei in the presence of Rabbi Yosa. This is a Yerushalmi. This is the Sprach of the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Yosa, Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, he also said the same thing. What did he say? Asur l'ores isha be'erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to get married erev Shabbos. This is shloik halacha, because it used to be that was the day to get married. People got married, that was Friday morning. Why? The main reason was poverty. They could not afford to make a wedding. So it was hard enough to make a Suda Shabbos. So the Suda Shabbos, the Suda Shabbos would also be the wedding with the same piece of chicken that you can eat Friday night, if you zoicha to have chicken, the piece of chicken, will be for the wedding. So they made a wedding. You're not allowed to get married Erev Shabbos. Why not? Why are you not allowed? There are many reasons why, but let's be severe. Why it would be better? Why l'cha'oira, it would be better not to get married Erev Shabbos? By the way, Rebbetzin David, who passed away last week, she got married, and this is before my time, but she got married in America, okay? Very unusual, Erev Shabbos. She got married Friday morning or Friday afternoon, and in a hotel, and the whole wedding party was Shabbos, was a...
Saves inviting guests.
Not necessarily. There are a lot of guests. There are a lot of pictures of that wedding. Trainer was in his prime. And there are many, many, many years. When I was in Camp Morris many years ago, there was a boy. He had the wedding album of that wedding. I don't know how he got the wedding album. Like from Trainer. Trainer was very, you know, if he asked Trainer for a picture, he'll give you whatever you want. I don't know. He gave out a lot of private pictures. Today, it would be criminal to do this. Even though I have a friend who made a wedding, and basically he didn't realize, and he was told to sign the contract, a very popular photographer in the community, and he just glanced over the contract, and he noticed that it says that the photographer has the rights to post on social media any picture he wants, in order to promote his business. Like you see, if you go, I don't do anymore, Baruch Hashem, Instagram. I used to have Instagram, and I used to go, you know, there's some photographers that, Instagram is the most addictive thing in the world. And you can just touch it, and 2 hours later, will pass, like, and it's so interesting what you can have. It's beyond belief. A lot of photographers have their best albums to promote their business, you know, customers. So it said there in the fine print that the photographer has the full rights to post any picture he wants. And he told him, what? This is none of your business. My child's wedding is none of the world's business. I don't give you permission. So he said, what? The photographer was very disturbed. And he basically said to the photographer, I'm not signing this. If you're going to do this, I don't want to take you. And I don't know what the end was, but he basically, and the photographer says, what, really? You're not going to use my services because of this? So he said, yeah, it's none of your business. You take pictures at my child's wedding. It's private. I invite my guests, so they see whatever they see. They can take their cameras, do whatever they want. You can't go post on Facebook.
And you're paying for it, too.
I'm going to pay you for this also? You out of your mind? And the photographer, he told me, was stunned. Because he never had a customer in the last few years who made an issue over this. He never had a customer. And like this, really? You're really not going to take me because of this? He says, hey, I'm not. That's right. I'm not going to take you. They'll charge you extra not to post it on Facebook.
Not to post it. It's advertising for them. That's
right. Of course, they take some of the pictures. You see, I saw some of the photography.
I posted the same thing.
Yeah, what? By your son? He posted on Facebook. He posted some pictures, and you should know some of the photography today is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The chokhma and even the technology, the techniques, you take a picture. Some of the pictures that they do today are just mind-boggling. Yeah. Mamish mind-boggling. And even now they have, you don't even realize some of the videos now, they do with drones. You ever see some of the drone videos by weddings? They have drones, the teeny little drones. You don't even know they're flying in the sky. They're flying over your head, even indoors. The incredible stuff. Getting back to what it says over here, we got sidetracked. So also la'ari saliv. I was thinking about Rav Chudna. How do I know there was an erev Shabbos? Because there's a lot of pictures available today of that wedding that took place on erev Shabbos. Also la'ari isha erev Shabbos. Hadod ad Omar hakavona shleilase suudas erusin. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara's maskana says the Gemara there says that you just cannot make this. You don't make the meal the suuda on erev Shabbos. Why not? I think it'll lead to Chil Shabbos. It will lead to Chilul Shabbos because of all the preparations. Hol Ores, Ye Ores. But marriage, the actual ceremony, can be done. Now, I don't know all the details. There's a lot of details over here, but I'm not going to this. Shmuel, it's not the point we need to discuss over here, but Shmuel says, Afil Lubatisha B'av, Ye Ores. Shmuel says, once we're talking about when you're allowed to get married, you're even allowed to get married on Tisha B'av. Now we tie just getting engaged. It's not getting engaged. The actual say Hare at Nikudeshes li b'tabas zu kidas Moshe v'Yishol can be done on Tisha B'av itself. Tisha B'av, why? And here is the point of this Maamar Chazal: Shelo yikadmenu acher. Because if you find a girl you like, and she's willing to marry you, and you delay even one day, someone else may chaper. And you're going to lose out. All right, here's the Gemara. Here's the Gemara. This is the Yerushalmi. You have to see what it says. In other words, there's no such thing as Bashert. If this is your Bashert, no one can take her away from you. Certainly not one day. So what are you worried about? What could possibly go wrong? So you're allowed to marry a woman on Tisha B'Av because maybe someone else will chap her? Mitzoy Tisha B'Av. What are you worried about? It's Bashert. The answer is there's no such thing as Bashert. It's a myth. There is no Bashert. You marry whoever you want. You can marry, there are a million people who you can marry, or you can't marry, whatever it is. It's a myth. The Gemara says, okay, you are of the opinion that this concept of Bashert is a myth. Guess what? Not everyone agrees with you. Michalfa shitasei de Shmuel. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel holds Shiduchim is Bashert. Yesh stira, over here, he writes over here, Yesh stira b'divrei Shmuel. Tamanu Omar Shmuel, let's see what it says. Over there it says, Moishiv Yechidim Besa. Right, here's the Gemara, right here. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshev, he establishes yichidim, individuals, baisa, which means Hashem makes shiduchim. As it in brackets, mikan sha'arbom yom kod miyitzir savlad baskol yoytzes baspani leploini, v'chein dorish is the pasuk. Oh, and now it comes to what is relevant to our discussion. Our discussion that we learned yesterday in the Targum, bimoznayim la'alois, hema mehevel yochad. And here the editor puts in his translation, I don't know, you have to see where he got this from, Ad Shehein, he's reading the translating the pasuk backwards, which is really what we did yesterday to a degree, and you take the last words first, that while the chosan and the kala were in a state of hevel, what does it mean? What does it mean to be in a state of hevel? It means that they didn't exist yet, or they were in their mother's womb. Ad Shehein hevel b'me'ei iman, it's already nigzor lohem zivugim. When they were in a state, hema mehevel, when they were in a state of hevel, yochad, it was already decreed in heaven that these two people should link up, should be married. V'hocha hu omar hochin. What's the contradiction? The other part that it says is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is v'hocha omar hochin, shelo yikadmenu achar b'tfila. The tefillah meshana hagzera, and over here when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Shmuel Amar, afilu b'Tisha B'Av ye'ores. You can get married even on Tisha B'Av, shelo yikadmenu acher, because someone else may chap your shidduch. How will they chap your shidduch? They'll daven better than you. Afilu kein loykoyim. The tefillah meshana hagzera. Afilu kein loykoyima.
Maybe she's the
bashar
of someone else. How do you know that?
Okay, yes, you can go. Let's just read the words. Whoever. I think the Gemara gives an answer. Im zochaba al yidei tefila eina. So the Gemara gives an answer. Now this is what it says in the Yerushalmi. Again, this is a Yerushalmi. I told you yesterday. This topic is an explosive topic, and there are many different opinions in the Gemara, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, and it's really at the end of the day. It's not this whole concept is just, it's not a practical topic. Because the Gemara over here says something that people don't say this. When you hear people talk about Basharet, they do not quote what I'm about to read you. The Gemara takes note of the contradiction in the words of Shmuel. On the one hand, Shmuel says, you can get married on Tisha B'Av because there's no Basharet. Shema yikadmen acher. Oh, but Shmuel himself says this pasuk, "Hey, mamei hevel yochad." It's bashert. So the answer is a very unpleasant answer. The truth is, there is bashert. Just because there's bashert, Mr. Marillis, that's what you're alluding to. Someone can steal your bashert. They will steal your bashert. But what's going to happen when someone steals your bashert? At the end of the day, it may take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they're going to lose it. They're going to get divorced. The marriage will terminate, will come to a bitter end, because you have in your possession something that does not belong to you. That's the Gemara answers. The Gemara, afilu kein. What? Okay, that's a whole different story, because David took her back eventually. David eventually took her back. Right, that was another. This is the Yerushalmi. People do not like to talk about this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi notes the contradiction in Shmuel, and the Yerushalmi says the ikur is there is something called basheret, but it's vulnerable. Someone can come and steal it, can take it away from you through tefillah, even through a holy concept. Tefillah has the kach to mess things up. But it's going to be a bitter end. Afilu kein.
The sense there is that person, maybe from his tefillahs, because he took his bride, he's going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's going to cause you a death.
Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has, but what do you say about the Kohen Gadol? That he may, in the Kodesh HaKadosh, he may say a Shem Hashem, and he'll think about a woman he wants to marry, and it's going to cause the husband to die. There's a whole thing in the Gemara, I remember, that it's very dangerous. The koyach of tefillah is very, can cause a person to person. Noshim, people have a natural yetzahara for noshim, and a person can do very strange things. If you listen...
Maybe God will listen to his tefillah and you're going to die, and you know she'll be a widow, and then he'll marry her.
Do you ever listen to 10-10 Winds? WCBS, 10-10 Winds? About I would say about 60% of the news on 10-10 Winds is this boyfriend, he shot the girlfriend, the girlfriend shot the boyfriend. There was some fight between boyfriend, girlfriend, it's always about women. Okay, so there is something about the danger of what goes on in this world, in this Eshel. But the Gemara says something very shocking. Afilu kein lo kaima. If it's not bashert and you do get married, it will not endure. And that's what it says in the brackets. Im zocha bo al yidei tefila, eina miskayemes loy. That is a very controversial topic. Now, look at the next line of Chazal. The next Chazal says, Tanan, b'chol yom, every single day. What does it mean, b'chol yom? It's very interesting. Korois, yoytsev yomer, there is an announcement which goes forth and says, bita shel ploni l'ploni. Now, this is very frightening what it says here. The daughter of ploni l'ploni. And then it says something very scary. Ishtoi shel ploni l'ploni. It's a time for musical chairs. Are we shuffling? That this person's wife should go to this man, which means the husband has to die or divorce her. Or, and then it says, Mamoina shel ploini leploini. This person's gonna go out of business. Okay, this is not your typical, you know, machrizin, you know, I mean, this is a very dark version of the famous chazal. It's a different chazal. The yeshem, some say, Avbaya shel ploini leploini. Mino hone. No, how do you know this? This is the pasuk. What we learn over here in Tillim, Ach Hevel Bnei Adam, Kozav Bnei Ish, Bimoiznayim La'alois. When they go up on a scale, Hema Mehevel Yochat. So the Gemara darshins the pasuk different. What we learned yesterday in Rashi and in the Targum. And in the Mitzuda, it's a whole different interpretation to bring out these 3 points. When the Pasuk begins with the words, Hevel, Bnei Adam, the Bnei Adam is futility. It says the word Bnei. Bnei alludes to the Hachroza in Shemayim, which is good, because there you're not taking away from anyone else. This is the good part. Bitoi shel ploini leploini, the daughter of, which is the Bnei, the child. Sha'imer bitoi shel ploini leploini. That's not so bad. But let's explain. We have to explain a little bit more. Wait, hold on 1 second. The second part of the pasuk where it says kazov, a lie, bnei ish, she'omer. When people say, let's take a step back. Let's go back. Bidoy shel ploni l'ploni. People like to say. He's saying it's hevel. There are people out there. I didn't say it correctly. There are people out there that like to say like shatranim. Oh, I have an idea. Bidoy shel ploni l'ploni. So Hashem's laughing at them. You don't know what you're talking about. You think bidoy shel ploni l'ploni, baloney. It's already been decided in Hashemayim, arba'im yom kodem ha'yetzira, whose daughter, who this person will marry. It's not for you to go and take credit for the shidduch. It's already been made. Your talk, I made 87 shidduchim. You made nothing. Hashem made the 87 shidduchim, and you somehow got lucky.
That's how he engineered the situation.
You did nothing. Me Hashem yotzah hadavar. Hevel bnei adam she'omer. People say bita shel ploni l'ploni. Now the next part is a little very disturbing. What it really means: cause of neish she'omer ishtoy shel ploni l'ploni. I don't know what that means exactly. People are planning and plotting. Okay, we're going to kill him so this woman can go marry this. I don't know what that means. We said an almana. She's already an almana. It's another time. I don't know. They have to go look in the farshim. I didn't look in the farshim. I don't know what it means over here. Okay, we'll leave for this for a moment. Let's see. On a scale lalois. Not like we learned yesterday. We learned all the perushim yesterday. B'moiznayim lalois scales. A scale is the basic tool, a cash register. It's the cash register. The amount of money that comes to the guy, I have a business, I have a great business idea, and this is how I'm going to make a killing in the market. Baloney. it's already basheret min hashemayim. How much money are you going to make? B'mozdaim lalosh omer. People say mamoni yishol panu l'ploni. It's nonsense. It's already been decided min hashemayim. The idach. Now what the idach bias. Now so what's the gemara? This is the gemara is asking a question. The idach, the other opinion, bias hainu. What is? The other opinion said there's a baskel that goes forth and says, the other one that said bias plenty, there's another, this is the middle of a Gemara. I think this is, we're quoting the passage out of context. I think the Gemara in the beginning spoke about the machroz ben hashemayim of a bias, a sodeh, and an isha. Okay, I don't know because I didn't look up the Gemara. So let's just leave this. Gufa. Once the Gemara touched upon this, we discuss in more detail. B'nei Adam kaz of b'nei ish, ma'ishno hevel ba'adam because of b'ish. Another concept. Why do we break up this pasuk into two parts? And we have b'nei Adam, and we discussed in the beginning and b'nei ish. And when it comes to Adam, we use the word hevel. When it comes to ish, we use the word kaz of. Amar David, ani amarti v'chavzi kol ha'adam koizev. I said in my haste, in my impetuousness, every man is a liar. Mishum the Adam Ksibereisha the Siv Vayomer Eskol Choshamati Bagon Voira Ki Eroim Onoichi Mishum Hochi Mishaker Ha'olma. Now he's going back. Ani Amarti V'Chavzi Kol Ha'Adam. Ha'Adam refers to Adam Harishain. Adam Harishain. He lied to Hashem a few times. Not a few times, but here he lied. He said, where are you? Why are you hiding? The reason why Adam was hiding was because he sinned. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was eroim, I was naked and I hid. Because of that, mishaker, he lied. What was the lie of Adam Arishain? What was the lie? Who gave you to eat from the Eitz Hadas? I don't remember all the details over here. But Adam Arishon, this is the way we have to go. I don't know. We have to go study this in more detail. I don't know. But Adam Arishon, he lied. And David HaMelech is explaining why he lied. The reason why he lied was because he was terrified. He was terrified. He was naked. He heard Hashem's voice in the Gan. He was in a state of bichofzi.
I was afraid to answer.
So he's saying in essence that Adam Harishon was caught off guard. That's the pasuk. So David is summarizing that event by noting that Adam was in a state of behola, and the word for behol that David used is bechofzi. Chofzi means I was caught off guard. I was afraid. I was impetuous. I was not in control of my mind because of the terror. Now the Gemara asks a question: Ha'omo kim le minoyach deloy meshaker, and because of this, it was decreed that Adam would basically come to an end. And version two, this Medrash is saying very fascinating stuff. Noach is Adam too. Right, doesn't Rav Soloveitchik talk a lot about this type of stuff? There's man version one, man version two. There's a lot of Jewish, but all of that stuff is in the first Parasha Bereishis. There's Adam one, Adam two, and there's Machshava. But the Medrash over here is saying is that Be'etzem, Noach was the version two of man. Hashem made Adam. Adam lied. Adam failed. He failed in his response to Hashem. Like Rabbi Mocho, we always talk about the cover-up. And by Adam, it's literally the cover-up. It's literally, was naked.
So I had the impression that Avraham was actually
man number two? So he says, Ha'olma kim le minuch d'lo mishaker. That he was a tzaddik tamim, afilu hachi lo yahani, it didn't make a difference. Aikara atika ozli, the world was destroyed anyway. Noach, the world came to an end with Noach. He started again. Mari says lo yahani aikara atika ozli. I don't know what that means. The original The original one went away. I don't know. I have a several. Can go look this up with the news over here. But at least we glean from this, at least the flu, the little bit that we take out of this over here that we learn over today is at least that we learn over here a very interesting concept. Adam HaRishon, what was his chait? So everyone says the chait was he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Wrong. That's not the chait. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yecheta. It is expected that a person will sin. It's expected. You can't blame a person for sinning. It's not a chiddush. Everyone is nichshol. No one came into this world.
That was the only mitzvah. That was very serious.
Doesn't matter. So it's the only mitzvah. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv lo yecheta. The fact that you come into this world, you're already subject to the forces of evil, and it's going to happen. What's the sin? What is the real nesayon? After you get caught, what do you do? Do you admit? Every politician in history only went down for one reason. In America, for sure. They got caught in the cover-up. Okay, they got caught in the cover-up. You commit a crime, and you confess. The world is very forgiving. Very forgiving. The whole world, especially in America. You commit a crime, you get caught. I'm going for therapy. I always remember when I was a kid, when Rush Limbaugh, okay? Rush Limbaugh, when he got caught, it's a claim the thing he did. I don't know whether it's a big deal, but you know, he got caught, had a nanny, or had some, and until he had some maid that secretly brought him painkillers. He was addicted to these painkillers. He had a lot of yisurim, he had a lot of the different things. And he didn't have prescription for that. And he went and he was through illegal means, which probably people do all the time, and no one could care less. He went and he was caught from his maid giving him painkillers.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow, they caught him red-handed, big deal. So he was very, very smart. Genius what he did. He said, Chotasi, I have sinned. I have committed illegal activity. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm a drug addict. Painkillers, I got them illegally. Chotasi, I'm taking off a few months from my radio show. I'm going for therapy and rehab. Brilliant. Took a vacation for 3 months, probably didn't go anywhere. Took a vacation, he went to his therapy sessions, and you never heard about it ever, ever again. Why? Because he said chotasi, and I'm going, that's the key word today, I'm going for therapy. Going for therapy, and you're done, you're finished, you're forgiven. If he would have said, I didn't do it. And then they would bring all the riots. He would go down. They would take him down, mamish, like they would come down like flies on dead meat. They would come again. That's the rule. Adam HaRishon, question, what was his chait? Ate the Eitz Hadas? Big deal. Ate the Eitz Hadas. Big deal. Ate the Eitz Hadas. Everyone does averus. Do people do averus? It's the cover-up. It was the cover-up when Hashem said, who gave you from the Eitz Hadas? What happened? And Adam, he hid. Eichave in the more of a symbolic, a conceptual concept, means Adam tried to cover up the sin. It doesn't just mean that he hid because of his nakedness, his physical nakedness. He tried to avoid Hashem. He was not willing to confront and confess and acknowledge the chait.
That's what made Yehuda great, by Yom
HaTzadik. Exactly. And that's what made David great. David said chotasi when he was confronted. Shaul, what did I do? What did I do? I told you to kill all of
the people,
the women and children and the animals. Why did you disobey a direct order? Why, the other first time, I told you, do not offer the sacrifice until I arrive on the scene. Why did you succumb to public pressure? People were impatient. Why did you give in? I told you not to do this. No. He refused to acknowledge the chait immediately. That's the chait. The chait of a person is vo'eichavei. I hid. Vo'eichavei symbolically means I denied the fact that I'm guilty. That is where Adam HaRishon went down. Noach according to this medrash, and this needs more elaboration, where do you see Noach was willing to confess his sins? I don't know. Where do you see? But it says in the pasuk, Noach tzaddik tamim hoya. He was a tzaddik tamim, and according to this medrash, the taich of a tzaddik tamim, a complete tzaddik, means you acknowledge your averus. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you don't do averus. That's what the medrash says. Ha'olmo kimle minoach delo mishaker. How do you know that Adam, that Noach did not say a lie? Dichsev tzaddik tamim hoya. The taich of a tzaddik, according to this medrash, is a whole new pshat. I always thought, I mean, there are two really basic translations, meanings of the word tzaddik. One is if you support other people. You support Yosef, who amas Yosef at tzaddik. Yosef was called a tzaddik. What did Yosef do? What was unique about Yosef? He was the mashbir. He was the provider. When you provide for other people sustenance, that makes you into a tzaddik. Number two is you oimed in an esayon. Eshes Potifar, he survived. He was not nichshol in the nisayon of Eshes Potifar. Those are the two common reasons why a person is called a tzaddik. You don't hear that a person is called a tzaddik because he tells the truth. But this medrash says that Adam HaRishon was version number one, and that was put away. Because Adam, in the very beginning, he lied. We don't blame him for the eating of the Eitz Hadas. It was a nesoyon that was beyond his ability. But what he did have, the Chiro Chavshis, was to confess. And he did not confess. And that is alluded to in the fact that it says, Vo'eichavei, I hid myself. I tried to cover up for my sin. I tried to cover up. To make some type of a smoke screen in order that I should not get caught. That was his chait. Noach was not like that. Noach was a person that would eat tzaddik tamim. Now, it must be much deeper than this. I don't know all the story, the details about Noach, all the different you said, but it must be, look in the Midrashim, where we'll have to find somewhere Noach was a person that was willing to acknowledge the reality. And is that part of building the teva for 120 years? Is that we're all a bunch of sinners, and let's not cover up for the fact that we think we're tzaddikim, the world's going to come to an end. Is that part of it? Maybe. All right, so the bottom line over here is we take out of this over here, at least we take out of this medrash, at least this idea going, we learned yesterday about this pasuk where it says, Heima mehevel yochad, it refers to shidduchim, when a person is in, when a man and woman are in a state of hevel before creation, or in their mother's womb, it's already decreed that they're called yochad. And that, the Gemara says, is a machloikis. Some say there's no such thing. We have over here, the Gemara says that you like to get married on Tisha B'Av. Shema yikadmena acher berachamim. Does that come to disprove that there is no such thing as bashert? So the Gemara seems to say, according to one opinion, that's the ultimate proof. The opinion that says, no, there is something called bashert. So the Gemara gives a very painful answer is, yeah, it's bashert, but someone else can take your bashert. And it's not a pleasant experience when that happens, because the person that's missing his bashert is left hanging with nothing, and the one that took the bashert will ultimately have a bitter end. What does that mean exactly? Okay, this is something no one wants to talk about. There's another Gemara, remember, it's by Reisman Shear. There's a Reisman Shear many years ago. He said this over, I think it's in Moed Katan. It's a Gemara towards the beginning of Moed Katan, where the Gemara tells you a story. I don't remember the names or the daf, where there was a person that was davening, and he was in and there was an Amoira that was able to eavesdrop on his prayer. And he heard the person davening, Ribbono shel Olam, I want to marry this specific woman. This girl, I want to marry her. He said her name. So the Amoris said to him, don't do that. Don't do that. Because maybe it's not going to be good. And the result will be bogad. You will come to rebel, Beis Gimel Dalit, and there are two girsois. Either it says Beis Hey, Bo Gad Bo, Or the other girsa is bogad beis hay with an apostrophe. When there's an apostrophe after the hay, it means bogad bahashem. Two girsas. Don't be mispalel to marry a specific woman. Because if you do, the result will be bogad bo or bogad bahashem. And Rabbi Reisman explains, this goes back many years ago, is that the nafkamin and the girsa is, can a person marry a woman that is not his bashert? If you learn that the girsa is bogad bahashem, it means you can't. You can stand on your head and you can do all of the magic tricks in the world. You will never, ever get a woman that's not your bashert. So if you're going to break your head here davening the whole day, Hashem, I want to marry this woman, I want to marry this woman, and you're going to daven with all of your koichos ha-nefesh, and Hashem's not going to give it to you. So what's going to happen? You're going to become an apikoros. I daven to you, Hashem, the entire day, and you don't answer me. That's very frustrating. Not everyone is able to take no for an answer. And if Hashem says no, a person, Rachmana Litzlan, can become a bogad, rebel against Hashem. The other girsa, bogad bar, is no, she's not your bashert. But if you drive Hashem crazy and you mispalel, you'll get it. Be careful what you pray for. Hashem will give it to you, but it's not your bashert. And if it's not your bashert, maybe it'll be fun for the first year or two, but ultimately you're going to divorce her. Bogad bo, you're going to rebel against her. You're going to come to fight with her and have a miserable life because she is not your bashert. How did you get her? Because you davened. If you daven enough, Hashem will give you even what you don't belong, what's not yours. But that ultimately, it's mamash what the Gemara here says, ultimately, if it's not yours, it's not going to be good. And you're going to come to rebel against her. And you're going to fight with her. If you learn the gears, bogad bahashem, you can daven all you want. Hashem's not going to give it to you because it's not your bashert. And then you're going to be very disappointed. Why didn't Hashem give you this? And you're going to come to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are different opinions. And the different opinions go so far into the girsois of the Gemara in a nuanced way. And here in our pasuk, we learned about this. Now, another thing that just was winding down over here on this idea over here, and that's to appreciate this other idea of the bimoznayim la'alois, the scales. Some of the mafarshim learned the bimoznayim la'alois refers to business. It's just a symbol that your business, the scales, which is a metaphor for business, you sell products, is also minashamayim. And others say, no, b'moznayim la'alois is what the Targum says is part of shidduchim. It's part that when a person gets, he didn't really learn the Targum, really says something completely different. That when a person gets married, the mazel of the chos and kala is now going to be weighed on a scale, and there's going to be a whole new, a recalibration of the mazel, the combined mazel of the chos and the kalos. The moznayim la'alois is dealing with an entirely different concept. Let's look at, we have to finish this up today, let's look at over here at the Radak. Radak pasik yud, just very short. Achel b'nei adam, cause of kamo kamo hevel, davashay no imed. Okay, he doesn't really say anything over here that was relevant for us. Oh, that's what it's consistently. Okay, it means the waters don't lie. All right, let's look here at the Ibn. Wait, wasn't there Havel Havolim? I remember learning the Havel Havol. That was the first pshat. How come I don't see that over here? Pasuk Yud. Yeah, let's look at the Ibn Ezra. I think maybe he quotes in the next pasuk. The Ibn Ezra. Okay, in the Ibn Ezra, it says here, and when we started with the Mitzudas David, we learned the symbol of this has nothing to do with Shidduchim. This pasuk has to do with the futility of having faith in man. And we said that if you take this principle of having faith in man and put it on one side of the scale, and would put the concept of futility on the other side of the scale, which one would rise higher? Which one is lighter? And the answer is the principle of having faith in man. Why? So the Radak beautifully says, because that is called Havel Havolim. Whereas Hevel is just Hevel. Derech Mashal, if you put the two on two sides of the scale, why? Ki heim havel havolim. Okay, isn't that beautiful? The concept of having faith in man is havel havolim. Hevel is just hevel. And Mela, it would go up higher. Okay, now let's look at the Sipurno. Okay, this is really spooky stuff, what the Sipurno says. We don't usually do a Sipurno, but this one over here is too good to pass up. Okay, this is really too scary to put up. I'm not sure the right one over here. Let's see. Pasuk Yud Ach Hevel Bnei Adam Kozel Bnei Yish Avol Hevel Shel Bnei Adam HaMisaskim. So we talk over here is a whole different pshat. We're not dealing with putting your confidence in man. We're not dealing with Shaduchim. We're dealing with people who spend their entire day making money, looking to become rich, and accumulating astronomical wealth. You notice these people are very, they're celebrated. They're looked up to. A rich person, you say the name of a rich person, everyone becomes googly eyes. They say the name of a gevir, a gevir. They look up to them. Why are these people raised so high? They're full of harir, that's why. If they had some weight, some value, they wouldn't be so. It goes together. The reason why they're so elevated is because they're basically these people. The way Hashem they rise because they're nothing. They're nothing. They're nothing. Pretty scary, huh? Avol, let's say Avol Hevel Shel Bnei Adam Hamisaskim BeKibutz Mamon VeChein Kozav Shel Bnei Yish Hamishtadlim LeHasig Gidula VeChavod VeHu LePamim Koyzei VeChadel Mehem. And sometimes the money, he's saying something different. I told you another pshat. We'll see in a second. And I'm jumping around a little too much over here. Okay. Haim, look what he did. Something I told you another pshat, which it says here also soon. But here he says, scary. This is it. They are destined to ascend together. Bimoiznayim on the scale, Meroiv Kalusam, Umiut Mamo Shusam, Yoiser, more so, Menadava Shuhu Hevel, Ubilti Nechsh of Eitzel Bene Adam. Asher Behevel Kamo, Lo Yitrach Adam Lasigoi, Velo Yavsid Boizmanoi. So he's saying here that people who are Mishtadel to accumulate wealth and Gedulu Vichavoid, They're worthless. They're worth less than the nonsense. L'chein, al tiftechu v'oyshek v'gezel, al tiftechu v'hasig momoin. Okay, then he says something a little bit different. Don't have faith to accumulate wealth b'sachbulas with tricks.
So it's not the accumulation of wealth itself.
It's the pursuit.
It's the obsession.
The obsession. The obsession.
And the unethical need to obtain it.
Okay, I'm thinking about something else that I read somewhere. We're going to see over here. Let's look very quickly at the Malbim. Maybe we'll finish with that. It's very late. Malbim to the Malbim, and then next week we're going to start with Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's probably where it is. Pasuk Yud, but over here, what is over here? And this one more Pasuk Yud in the Malbim, and we'll stop with this. Chelik Gimel Arba Achud Eden Hevel Shein Ba Mamish Kam Beish Hagadolim Sheyesh Kam Eiza Mamish Heim Kozov. They are liars. Shu davar ha'poseik ve'inam iskayim b'moznam alos intir bnei adam sha'olim berum ha'hatzlocha. If you would, I'm reading the Malam on page 438. If you see people who are successful they ascend in Heim Doimim Kimisha Oyle Bekaf Mozam. The people that are successful, they're like feathers on the side of the scale that ascend all the way up. They go all the way up.
Something like a balloon.
A balloon, right? Shazes Simon, someone that is in this world is looked up to. It's a sign. Sheheima Mehevel Yochad. They're totally. Yochad means, in this context, it doesn't mean two people together. It doesn't mean equal. It means completely. They're completely empty people. Someone today who is looked up to because of his wealth is a siman that this person's neshama is utterly worthless. Wow, who could say such a that's such a nasty thing to say?
How can you say so? Who can you say that?
You can ask a very good, Mr. Murillis, you're right. The Gemara asked your question. It says,
plenty of rich people are very good people.
So you're not dealing with those people. Rebbe, it says in the Gemara, a bigger question. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. Now, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, there's no one greater than Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh because he's Kadosh. He's the one who codified the Mishnayos. And it says in the Gemara that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he saw a rich man, he gave him honor. He gave him honor. But if you go and you read all of these things, money, yeah, what's money? You're wasting your time the whole day looking for money, money, money. You're not going to take the money with you to the next world. What?
You don't get far without it.
That's right. You don't get anywhere. You don't get far. You can't even walk one step without money. Okay, but it, the Gemara seems to say that Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, and the Gemara doesn't differentiate between an Oshir who learns Daf Yomi, who gives Daf Yomi share, gives money to the poor, to the tzedakah. It doesn't say. It says simple, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, which would seem to imply if Bill Gates would walk into this room. And you can say about Bill Gates whatever you want to say. And there's a whole world out there that has some very, very nasty things to say. And Soros and some of these people, there's a whole literature of the ugliest things you can say about them. Doesn't matter. It says in the Gemara, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. And the Gemara doesn't differentiate between an Oshir that is a shomer Torah mitzvahs, and an osher, that's an osher. So what's the pshat? The Gemara over here says, oh, he's an osher, it's a sign that his neshama is so worthless, that's why it ascends. No, it's Marillus, it's your question, right? It's even more of a question, because you're talking about an osher that's a good person. The proof he's a good person, he gives tzedakah, he learns Yerush Shemayim. Forget about that. Let's talk about Stam and the Goyim. Ashim, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. You want to limit the Gemara only to a certain type of usher that learned the Daf Yomi, gave a shir? It doesn't say that. I once had a friend, and I, this guy is a very complicated person. I always fight with him. And he told me, very nasty, he says to me, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he runs the world with money. If he wants to elevate a person, he gives, everything is money. Everything is money, even by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way Hashem runs the world, and that's a big coincidence to say that. What he's saying is true to a very large degree, because the people who really control the world are the people who have money. Okay, so Hashem knows that this person he has ideas, he's a certain personality, and Hashem wants certain results to happen in this world. So the way Hashem manipulates this world, that the results that should be in this world for good or for bad, is he puts into position people. He gives them money, so they rise to the top, and then they do things which change the world for better or for worse, depending on what Hashem wants. So Hashem operates by bringing things about, by giving a person money, because nothing in this world happens without money. Superficially, he's saying something very scary. Is that Hashem, everything's about money. Hashem runs the world. I mean, that's a shtickle of course, I think. You know, Hashem brings about results in this world with no money. Hashem wants there to be a result. Hashem causes things to happen in this world, and he puts people in things happen. Everything is money by the Ribbono Shel Olam also. This person, he tells me, yeah. I mean, what am I going to tell him? You know, whatever. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But this is it's an interesting concept. If you have, let's say you have people that come to visit, you know, this is like you talk about this also in government. Let's say a machal. Let's say someone that you politically detest, who is in a very powerful position in this world, and he walks into this room. What would you do? Would you walk out? Would you have derech eretz for him? Would you? How do you deal with people?
That's a tough call.
Oh, you see, it's a tough call, right?
It's a tough call.
You know, there are a lot of politicians with a firm world, with the Shem Bnei Torah.
I certainly wouldn't want to fake anything.
You have to deal, and you have to. There's a protocol of respect, and the people are just.
Sucking up to somebody.
Right, okay, right. There's a protocol, how things are done, and these people are really bent on destroying you. Not in an open way, but in a political theater. And then you come face to face with them in public, and the cameras are rolling. How do Rashi Yeshivas and Rabbanim and Askanim deal with people who hate us? Mamish hate us. But they're in a position of power, and the world is watching. It's a very, very tough, very delicate balance. And this balance, not this we can appreciate when it comes to political politics, but when it comes to Ashirim, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're dealing with people that are extremely wealthy. Automatically, they're a government. People who have Hashem has blessed with extreme wealth, they're just like the government. Whatever they say goes. That's how it is. And now you come face to face with them. What do? You're going to say, we know who you are, we know what you're all about, and you read them this pasuk. The reason why you're so exalted is because it's a sin that your neshama is havel havolem. You're not going to read them this pasuk and say that to them. And how do you, so Mr. Murilis, you're right. And the only answer we have to say on a very superficial level is, and we always say, everything is a balance. There's always a balance, and these psukim are coming to point out one prat, one element, which you have to be aware of. But you have to also accept that there are other considerations and everything has to be properly balanced. All right, we're going to stop here. Im Yiras Hashem, next week, we're going to start with Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're done with this Pasuk. Take a short break. We'll do some Chumash.